أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Lesson number 38, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 282 to 283. Two ayats. Why? Because the verse that inshallah we're going to study today is the longest ayah of the Qur'an. How long is it? It covers an entire page of the Mus'haf. And what's the name of this ayah? Ayatul Dayn. What does Dayn mean? Alone. Now we see that the longest ayah of the Qur'an, it's not Ayatul Kursi. It's not an ayah that tells us to pray salah, how to perform hajj, how to give zakat. But what is it about? Financial matters. Financial issues. When we think of our deen, we think that the deen only teaches us Islam should only be limited to the masjid, to my hijab, to my dhikr, to my adhkar, and that's it. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also guides us with regards to our financial issues, with regards to our financial matters. And the longest ayah of the Qur'an is about that. If you look at the context of this verse, the context is of financial matters. Spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was mentioned first, which is the culture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promotes. And the opposite of that, which is riba, is then forbidden. It is condemned very severely. And those who still involved in riba, they are threatened with a severe punishment, which is a war with Allah and His Messenger. And this ayah in particular talks about loans. That if a person wishes to take a loan, then what should he do? What should be done? What's the proper etiquette? What's the proper manner? We see that sadaqah is to give something for free. Riba is to charge a fee on the loan, isn't it? Now there has to be a middle way between the two. Because it's possible that a person needs something, but he doesn't want the sadaqah of the other. And it's possible that a person is a Muslim and he doesn't wish to pay riba or he doesn't wish to receive any riba. So then there has to be a middle way. If he wishes to borrow something, then what is the proper manner of borrowing something in Islam? How should it be done? What is it that must be taken care of? So this is going to be explained in this ayah. And remember that this matter, this issue of taking a loan and returning a loan and how a loan must be taken, what's the proper manner of taking the loan, this is so important that if a person dies as a shaheed, if a person dies as a martyr, what happens when a person dies as a martyr? The moment that the first drop of blood falls to the ground, all of his sins are forgiven, except for a debt that he owes, a debt that he has to pay back to someone, that he has to return to someone. We also see that in Surah An-Nisa, clearly it has been stated about the shares of inheritance. And we know that when a person dies, then his estate must be distributed within his heirs as soon as possible, as quickly as possible. But so many times in that surah, it has been said that it will only be done after the dayn has been paid, after the loan has been returned. Once the loan has been returned, only then his estate is going to be distributed. Only then. So for example, if a person has borrowed some money from the bank and he dies, then his money, his wealth, his property is not going to be distributed amongst his children unless and until that money is returned to the bank first. Once the debt is returned, only then the inheritance is distributed. We also learn from a hadith that is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, in which Salama ibn al-Aqwa, he said that once, while we were sitting in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, a dead man was brought. The Prophet ﷺ was requested to lead the funeral prayer for the deceased person. He said, "Is he in debt?" The Prophet ﷺ questioned, "Is this man in debt? Was he in debt?" The people replied in the negative that no, he doesn't have any debts on him. He said, "Has he left any wealth?" They said, "No." So he led his funeral prayer. Another dead man was brought, and the people said, "O Allah's Messenger, lead his funeral prayer." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Is he in debt?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Has he left any wealth?" They said, 3 dinars. So he led the prayer. Then a third dead man was brought, And the people said to the Prophet, please lead his funeral prayer. He said, has he left any wealth? They said, no. He asked, is he in debt? They said, yes. He has to pay 3 dinars. The Prophet ﷺ refused to pray his janazah. Why? Because he still had to return his debt. And how much was the debt? 3 dinar. For us, $3, 3 cents, is something very insignificant. But the Prophet ﷺ refused to pray the janazah for that man. And he said, then pray for your dead companion. Abu Qatada said, O Allah's Apostle, lead his funeral prayer and I will pay his debt. And then he led the prayer. So we see that it's the responsibility of the family, it's the responsibility of the heirs, and then it's the responsibility of the Muslims in general to pay the debt of a person who has died. Because until the debt is paid, the Prophet ﷺ refused to pray the janazah. It's against the sunnah to pray the janazah of a person who still has to give money to someone. So we see that financial matters, financial issues are very serious when it comes to our deen. Very, very serious. So therefore, a person must keep a record of what he owes to other people and what is owed to him. A person must keep a record of that. Why? Because we don't know when we're going to die. We have no idea. And if death comes and nobody knows about what has to be paid from our wealth, from our money, then what's going to happen? Imagine a shaheed does not enter Jannah unless and until his debt is paid. So this shows to us that the matter of debts in particular is something that is very, very serious when it comes to our deen. Now if you look at it, there are two types of transactions. One is that an immediate transaction takes place in which a person buys something, he pays the money for it, and he takes the object. It's an immediate transaction. The transaction is concluded immediately at the spot. You go to the grocery store, you pay with cash, and you bring the grocery home. Khalas, it's over. It's finished. But there is another type of transaction. And what is that? It is to purchase something on credit. And what that means is that a person buys something, but he delays the payment. Or for example, he buys something, he pays the money, he gives the money for it, but the delivery of that particular object is delayed. He doesn't take it home with him, but it's going to be delivered in his house a week or 2 weeks from that particular time. So we see that there are two types of transaction. One is immediate, and the other is that which is on credit. That which is not concluded immediately. The payment is delayed, or the delivery of the purchased item is delayed. Now in this case, which is the second case, it is very important to record this transaction. Because imagine if a person takes something home, he doesn't pay for it, and he dies. And nobody finds out that he still has to pay for it. So for example, sometimes if we need a juz or a book from the bookstore, and we realize that we don't have any money at that time, but the class is going to start right away, what are you going to do? You're not going to buy the book? You're not going to take the book? You are going to. So what has to be done is that it's going to be written that this person of this group took this book, which costs this much money, and she's going to pay the money on after the weekend or whenever. So it is important to write this down. It is important to record this transaction down. Which transaction? In which the payment is deferred, which is not an immediate one. A transaction that is based on credit. And this is exactly what is being taught in the ayah. Now what is the ayah? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who have believed. The believers are being addressed. That if you're truly believers, then you must do this. It's a requirement of your iman. This is something that will perfect your iman. And if you don't do it, it's going to affect your faith. It's going to affect your amal. Therefore, do this. And remember that this ayah that begins with Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, this is the last address that is directed to the believers in Suratul Baqarah. Suratul Baqarah is coming to an end. So, all you who have believed, إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ, when you all contract a debt. For how long? بِدَيْنٍ, with a debt, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, for a fixed period. تَدَايَنْتُمْ, دَيْن, are from the root letters دَال, يَا, نُون. And if you look at the word تَدَايَنْتُمْ, you see the alif? That indicates that the action is mutual. There are two parties involved in the action of dana. So tadayantum, you all are contracting a loan, meaning one party is lending, the other party is borrowing. So what is being contracted is a dain, because dain is a loan. The word dain is used for a specific type of qard. It is used for a specific type of loan. Remember that every qard, every loan is not a dain. What kind of a loan is dain? Dain is basically something that is lent or its payment is delayed for a fixed period of time. So what differentiates dain from qard is the fixed period of time. Qard can be for an unspecified period of time. For example, you say, can I please borrow your pen? And you don't say, I will return it to you at 2:30. p.m. Monday morning, the 5th of January. No, you don't do that. That is just a qard. You're borrowing it and it's understood that you're going to return it. But a dain is something that is lent or a payment that is delayed for a known and specified and agreed period of time. And remember that this dain, this loan, is not just on money. Meaning it's not just monetary. It's not just that I'm lending this money to you, so you will return it to me at this particular time. It's not just on money. It could be on different things. What are they? Inshallah, we'll discuss them in a moment. So, when you contract a dain, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, until a fixed period of time. The word أَجَل, as you know, is used for time, for a specific moment in time or a period of time. مُسَمَّى, one that is fixed. مُسَمَّى is from the root letter سِين مِيم واو, from the word سُمُوب. What does سُمُوب mean? Height. From the same root is the word ism. What does that mean? Name. Because the name of a person distinguishes him. It separates him. Just as something that is elevated, something that is high, is distinguished. And others say that the word musamma is from the root letters waw, seen, meme. What does wasm mean? To put a mark, to brand. So musamma is that which is marked, meaning that which is specified. That which is defined, it's designated from before. So, أجل مسمى, meaning the time period of that loan, of that debt, is fixed. However long it may be, or however short it may be. But remember that it is fixed. And it cannot be general, it cannot be vague. For example, a person cannot say, okay, you give it to me next year. Well, next year could mean any time between January and December. So next year means exactly which month, which date, which day. So musamma means it should be fixed, it should be clear, and it should be set from before. So when you are contracting a debt and the time is fixed, then what should you do? Faktubuhu. Then you should write it down. You should write down what? The amount, the thing that is being lent, or the amount that is owed. And secondly, the term. So basically, two things are going to be written. What are they? The dain, and secondly, the term. For example, you return to me $1,000 that I'm lending you today, when? January 3rd, this and this year. So two things are going to be recorded. So faktubuhu, write it down. So over here we see that dain is being mentioned. That when a dain is being contracted, then that dain should be written. Now dain, I told you about the meaning of the word dain, but what is included in dain? Dain basically is a payment that is delayed up to a specified time period. And this payment could be of thaman bayr, meaning a transaction whose payment is delayed. So basically when something is purchased on credit. So first of all, a purchase on credit. For example, you buy something and you say, okay, I'll pay you 1 week from now. I'll pay you 1 year from now. So it's something that you purchased on credit. So if something is being purchased on credit, that transaction should be written down. It should be recorded. Why? Because if you think of it, the long period passes, you might forget. You might forget about the amount. You might forget about the date. You might forget about what exactly is due. So, to avoid all of these possible problems, therefore, write it down. Secondly, dain includes ujra. What does that mean? A wage, salary. For example, a person works for another. When does he get his pay? At the end of the week, or at the end of 2 weeks, or at the end of the month, or at the end of the contract, whatever it is, whatever has been decided. Because if you think of it, as the person is working, every second, every minute that he works, he should get a wage, isn't it? He should get a wage. But that wage is delayed until the entire work is done, until the entire month is over. And at the end of the month, then the pay is given. Then the wage is given. So until the wage is given to the employee, then that wage is a dain on who? On the employer. He has to give it to the employee. So this must also be written down, that at the end of every month, as long as a person does this work, he is going to be paid this much money or these benefits. Similarly, it also applies to in a situation where a person is renting something. For example, a person is renting his house. And what happens? At the end of the month, he should receive a rent. He should receive a check. From who? From the person who is renting. Now, should the person, for every second that he's in the house, should he be giving him money? No. Otherwise, how are both of them going to live? It's not possible. So what happens is that they decide, okay, at the end of every month, this is the money that I'm going to give you. So until the end of the month, that particular rent money is a dain on who? On the tenant, on the person who is renting. And he has to give it to who? To the landlord. So basically, it's a payment that is delayed until a specific time. What is that specific time? End of the month. So basically, dain is a payment that is delayed. Whether it is for something that was purchased on credit, or it is a wage, a salary, or it is a rent. Similarly, this dain also applies to aqad, a loan. For example, a person says, I'm giving you this money, and you return it to me at this particular time. So that is also payment that is delayed. It also includes sadaq. It also includes mahr. Remember that mahr is to be given at the time of marriage. But if for some reason it is mu'ajjal, it is delayed, there is ajal musamma, mu'ajjal. Mahar mu'ajjal, what does it mean? That the payment of the mahar is deferred for a month, for a year, for 2 years, whatever the decided time is. Then even that should be recorded at the time of nikah, at the time of marriage. That the man is going to give this much mahar to the woman at this particular time, because it's the haq of the woman. And it's the responsibility of the man that he has to give that mahar to the woman. And if he's not able to give it at the time of marriage, then he must specify as to when he's going to give it. It's a deferred, it's a delayed payment. And it could also involve other things. So basically, dain is used for any transaction in which one person is owed something, whether it is money, or it is mahar, or it is rent, or whatever, and the other is granted a delay. The creditor is owed something, and the debtor is granted a delay. This is what dain is. So over here Allah says that when you are contracting a dain, then what should you do? فَكْتُبُوهُ. Then you should write it down. And before that, we should also remember that dain is for أَجَلْ مُسَمَّى, for a fixed period of time. You cannot be vague, you cannot be general, you have to specify exactly. For example, we learn from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, the people were in the habit of paying in advance for fruits to be delivered within 1 or 2 years. So in advance, what would they do? They would pay for the fruit that was going to be delivered for them for 1 or 2 years. So the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever pays money in advance, he should pay it for known specified measure and wait for a specified date. Meaning he should specify exactly when he should receive. So the time must be fixed as well. So here, the command has been given to record and preserve such transactions. Ibn Jurayj said that whoever borrowed should write the terms, and whoever bought should have witnesses. So we see that all of these transactions, they must be recorded. Why record? Why should they be written down? Why should they be recorded? What's the wisdom behind that? It's safer. It's possible that the person who is borrowing does not return the money. The person who's been granted a delay, he makes that delay an eternal delay. For example, the man says, yes, I'm going to give you the mahar. It's not written how much, it's not written when, and he never gives it to the woman. So is that fair? It's not fair at all. But when it's written, then it's a solid evidence against the man. The woman can take that thing to the court, or the father can come up and say that you promised this. So it's a hujjah against the person. Suppose the person who is borrowing, the person who has delayed the payment, he dies. It's a loan on his head. It's a debt that he has to pay. And imagine if nobody knows about it. Imagine. But if it's written, if it's a proper document, then obviously people are going to find out and the debt is going to be paid. And sometimes it's completely unintentional. It's not intentional at all that a person is going to make a change later on. So to avoid problems in the future, write it down. It'll make your life easy. Isn't it that sometimes when you have too many things on your head, you're always thinking, was it that much or that much? This much or that much? You're always thinking, but once you've written it down, it's off your head. You can relax then. You're free of doubt. Sometimes you have to do certain things, certain work, and if you don't write it down, it just lingers on your head. And once you've written it down, it makes life much easier. Even for your grocery, when you have to buy, if you make a list from before, then you're not that lost in the grocery store, and you don't have regrets when you come back home. So write it down, because it's going to avoid problems. It's something serious, therefore, write it down. وَلْيَكْتُبْ. And he should write. This lam over here is of amr, meaning it's of imperative. It's a command that is being given. وَلْيَكْتُبْ. And let him write. Now, this lam of amr is of istihbab. What does it mean by istihbab? Istihbab, mustahab. What does it mean? Mustahab, an action that is preferred, an action that is recommended. So this lam is of istihbab, meaning of recommendation. So it is recommended that you should write. Now remember that it is extremely important that a person must record such transactions. However, scholars have said that it is not mandatory. It is highly recommended, but it is not mandatory. But in certain situations, it does become mandatory. For example, if the dain is a huge amount, it's a whole house, it's a huge amount, then it must be written down. But if you're just borrowing a book from your friend and you're saying you're going to return it tomorrow, then are you going to sit down and write and call two witnesses? No, it's going to make life very difficult. So scholars have said that this waliyaktub, this lam is of istihbab, so therefore it is recommended to do this in situations that require this, but in other situations where it's not that important, then a person can do without writing it down. But the question is, who is going to write? Who is going to record this transaction? Waliyaktub bainakum, and he should write between you all. Who does you all refer to? The two parties that are involved, the creditor and the debtor. The one who is owed something and the other who has been granted a delay in the payment. So he should write between all of you. Who should write? Katibun, a scribe. Katib is one who does kataba, one who writes, a scribe. And remember that katib, yes, it is used for anyone who writes, but in particular it is used for someone whose profession is writing. Doesn't mean writing books, but katib is a professional scribe. Someone who has been trained, who has specialized in transcribing financial transactions. Someone who has gained the training and he has specialized in transcribing financial transactions. For example, you know how to write. But if you were told to go write such a document, a legal document, will you be able to? No. You're going to have to be told exactly what is to be written. Probably you'll miss out on something. You won't write something properly. You might write a word incorrectly because you're not familiar with the spellings. Why? Because you haven't been trained. It's not your specialization. So katib over here refers to a third person other than the creditor and the debtor, who is a professional scribe who has the training as to how to write these documents. Now, for example, today we can understand this katib to be, for instance, a lawyer or someone who works in the bank who knows about these things and who's legally is allowed to make such transactions. So, وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ. But how should the katib write? بِالْعَدْلِ, with justice. What does it mean by justice? Justice over here refers to two things. That first of all, he should write everything accurately. Meaning, he should not increase or decrease the amount of the dain. Similarly, he should not increase or decrease the term of ajal musamma. So he should not increase or decrease the amount or the terms. Secondly, adl over here refers to that a person should write this in compliance with the Sharia. That whatever he is writing, it should comply with the laws, with the directions of the Sharia. For example, if the creditor says that you pay this back to me, you give me the money after a year on the condition that you give me this much interest, this much riba. He sets this as a condition. But what has the katib been told? No, you're not going to write that. Why? Because it's against adl. It's against the teachings of the Sharia. It's against what Allah has told you to do. So adl refers to two things. What are they? That first of all, with accuracy, and secondly, in compliance to the Sharia. And also, adl can refer to that the katib should not be biased. He should not side with either of the two parties. He should not do zulm on either of the two parties, but he should write everything with complete fairness. وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ. And the katib, the scribe, he should not refuse. يَأْبَ is from Hamza Baya. And أَبَى يَأْبُ إِبَاءَ means to refuse to do something very severely, very harshly. We learn about this word in the context of Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He refused to do sajda, وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. And he became very arrogant. So أَبَى إِبَاءَ is to refuse, to reject something very harshly, to say a no. So, لَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ. The katib should not refuse. And notice the word katibun is nakira. Even previously that we read, وَلْيَكْتُبْ كَاتِبٌ. Katibun is nakira. What does that mean? It could be any scribe, any person who writes, any scribe, whether he's a Muslim or not. So for a katib, being Muslim is not a condition. So, وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ أَنْ يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهِ. And let no scribe refuse to write as Allah has taught him. كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهِ. كَمَا. What does كَمَا mean? Just as, and secondly, because. So, أَن يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهِ, meaning just as Allah has given him the advantage of knowing how to write. Similarly, therefore, he should not be niggardly, he should not be stingy when it comes to writing for other people. And kama basically gives us the meaning of illa over here, that because Allah has taught him how to write. Many times when people have a degree or a specialty in something or a particular skill, they think that they have it because they have earned it themselves, they have acquired it themselves, and they forget the fact that it is Allah who gives the tawfiq to us to do something, to learn something, to acquire a skill. There are so many people who try so hard to get a degree. Why is it that they weren't able to do it and you were able to do it? So many people strive to become lawyers. So many people strive to become accountants. Many are not successful. So if a person is successful in gaining the skill of kitabah, then it is the mercy of Allah. It is the favor of Allah. And if Allah has bestowed this favor upon you, then you should thank Him for this favor. And how should you thank Him for this favor? That you should use this favor to serve people. Shukr is also through actions. So he should not refuse to write because Allah has taught him how to write, and therefore he should benefit mankind with the skill that Allah has given him. And notice the word allama has been used. Allama yu'allimu ta'lim is to teach something gradually. Nobody can learn how to write in just one lesson. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes a lot of practice. Therefore, when you're practicing your Arabic writing, don't get stressed out that I have to write the whole page. No. You can only perfect writing when you put in a lot of effort and when you practice more and more, because it's allama, yu'allimu ta'lim, to teach gradually over a period of time. Kama allamahu Allah. So we see over here that the scribe is being instructed that when he is called to write, when he is called to record such a transaction, then he should not refuse to do so. Why? Because Allah has done a huge favor on him by teaching him how to write, so he should show thanks to Allah by using this favor to serve humanity. We learn from a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is a type of charity to help a worker and to do something for a feeble person and for a person who is weak. So if somebody does not know how to write and you know how to write, then why shouldn't you help him? Why shouldn't you? It's a sadaqah. And remember that a person may charge, he may take some wage for this writing, for transcribing these documents. Because if you think of it, if a person is doing this all the time, then how is he going to make money? If he's being called all the time and he's being told over here, لا يأبى, he should not refuse, then how is he going to get any of his work done? So he can charge. He can charge a wage. But obviously it is better if he does so for charity, but he may charge a wage as well. So we see over here that a katib must not refuse when he is called to write. So, if your mother asks you to type something for her, if your father asks you to type something on the computer for him, why? Because he's not that fast at typing, or he's not as skilled as you are, then what should you do? Do it for them. You should not refuse. Why? Because it is Allah who has given you the skill, this ability. So you should use it to help other people. We learn from another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَتَمَ عِلْمًا يَعْلَمُهُ أُلْجِمَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ بِلِجَامٍ مِّنْ نَارٍ. Whoever kept knowledge to himself will be restrained by a brittle made of fire on the day of resurrection. He knows about something and the other is asking him, but he doesn't tell him. Why? To keep his supremacy over him, to keep his superiority over him, that I know how to type and you don't know how to type and you're so slow and I can do it for you faster, but I'm not going to do it, I'm better than you. So this kind of thinking is very dangerous. It's something that will bring punishment to a person on the Day of Judgment. So we see that knowledge is blessing, and in particular the ability to write is also a blessing. فَلْيَكْتُبْ. So he should write. Who should write? The scribe should write. The command is given again. Why? For emphasis. That he should not refuse at all. He should write. Okay, now he is going to write. But what is he going to write? Who is going to tell him as to what he's supposed to write? Is he going to figure out everything himself? No. وَلْيُمْلِلْ. And he should dictate. Again, you see the lam at the beginning? It is of amr, giving the meaning of should. And yumlil is from the root letters mim lam lam, or mim lam waw. And imlal is to dictate something to someone. And from mim lam waw, imla is to give time, to give respite. When you're dictating something to someone, what do you have to do? You have to give them time to be able to write something, to be able to write what you're dictating to them. Which is why if you talk fast when you're teaching, it's possible that people miss out on what they're supposed to write. So imlal needs imla. Imlal, dictation, necessitates imla. What does that mean? Giving respite, giving more time. So wal yumlil, he should dictate. Who should dictate? Alladhi alayhi al-haqq. The one on whom is the haqq. What does it mean by haqq? Truth, right? And remember, haqq is also used for duty. As we learned earlier, haqqan عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. It's a duty, it's something mandatory, it's incumbent upon who? Upon those who have taqwa, upon those who do ihsan. So haq means duty as well. Over here, haq gives the meaning of the obligation of paying the dain, of returning the dain, the obligation of making the payment that was delayed. So who is he? Who is this person? The one who has been obligated with the responsibility to pay the dain. Who is he? The debtor, the one who is taking the loan. So the one who is taking the loan, the debtor, he is going to dictate to the katib as to what he should write. The amount, the quantity, the time period, all of these details. Who is going to dictate? The debtor, the one who is taking the loan, the one on whom is the haq, the responsibility to return the thing. And while he is dictating, what does Allah say? وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ. And he should fear Allah, who is his Lord. Notice, وَلْيَتَّقِ. Again, lam is of amr. That he must fear Allah. Who is Allah? رَبَّهُ, his Lord. So basically, his dictation, whatever he dictates, should be correct, and he should fear Allah with regards to it. Because it's possible that a person is dictating and he deliberately says something wrong, or he deliberately says something in a very vague way, or in a way that the other person does not understand. It's possible. But who knows? Allah knows. So at that time, the dictator, the debtor, what should he do? He should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. And out of the fear of Allah, وَلَا يَبْخَسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. He should not reduce anything from it. يَبْخَسْ is from بَخْس. And what does بَخْس mean? To reduce something, to decrease something, whether it is in quantity. So for example, quantity of something, or the quantity of the time period. And بَخْس is also to reduce something in its quality or in its type, that everything is not mentioned, all the details are not given, some details are left out. So لا يبخس منه شيئا, he should not reduce anything of it. So we see over here that the katib should write. But if you notice, so far, so many words have come from the root letters كاف تابا, isn't it? فاكتبوه فليكتب كاتب فليكتب. So many times the word كتب has come in different forms. What does it show? This shows to us the importance of documenting, of writing, of recording financial transactions. It's very important to write about financial matters, not just with regards to them, but with regards to other matters as well. For example, this is the money that I own. Sometimes a person owns some money, some property, some wealth, and the family has no idea. The children have absolutely no idea. Okay, if you don't want to tell your children, it's perfectly fine. Because sometimes if children are told about these things, they become very proud and they become wasteful and they don't take responsibility for themselves. They think that my parents are very rich and I don't have to do anything. So if a person has a lot of money, he owns a lot of property, he should have everything written down somewhere. Whether it's with the lawyer, or it is with the spouse, or it is with himself, but it should be written somewhere or the other. Similarly, sometimes people are living together. For example, husband and wife. The husband has his money and the woman has her money. It's understood. This is my money, this is your money. But sometimes it's not clearly distinguished. They say, okay, yeah, we share. And sometimes if there's an argument, if there's a fight, give me my money. Okay, which money is exactly yours? Which money is exactly mine? It's not known. It's not clearly distinguished. So when it comes to financial matters, financial issues must always be written down, must always be recorded. And we also learn from this that it's not just important to write about financial matters, but also other important things. It's also very important to write other important details or other important dates or things like that. For example, if a woman is going through divorce and she does not make a note of when her period begins, and then later on she forgets, how will she know if it is over or not? How is she going to figure out? So these details must be written down. And the katib, the scribe, Because the word كاتبٌ is nakira, therefore any person can be used as a scribe as long as he knows what to write and how to write. He is familiar with what is to be written. And which is why the katib can be a Muslim, he can be a non-Muslim, and if in a particular need, it can also be a woman. Many times families are completely split to the extent that even grandchildren are not talking to each other. Why? Because of financial issues. Similarly, sometimes it happens with children even. This is my book or this is your book. When you come to school, make sure you write your name on every book that you own. Because it's possible that the other person claims that it's their book. How can you prove it's yours? You can't. You recognize your book, but how can you prove it? So it's always better to write these things down to avoid any further problems. Because these problems lead to disunity. So we're being told to be careful from the very beginning. Today we see that almost every person can write, but a few years ago, some 20 years ago, some 25, 30 years ago, there were still quite a few people who didn't know how to write. And even today in some places, there are people who don't know how to write. So a person who does know how to write, he should benefit others. And we can really apply this on ourselves when it comes to typing stuff on the computer. Because our parents, our grandparents, maybe our uncles, our aunts, maybe they're unfamiliar. Sometimes they own a machine. Maybe that's much better than yours. But they need help with the computer. So at that time, don't refuse to offer any help. For example, if there is a transaction in which the payment was deferred and it was not recorded, and the person who was supposed to pay, he does not come, he does not show up to give the money, what's going to happen? Obviously, the person who is not giving the money to the other, obviously he's done zulm, and he will be questioned about that. But the person who did not record it, who did not have this transaction recorded, when he had the opportunity to do that, and when Allah has clearly said, write it, then he is going to suffer, and there is no pity for him. Really, there is no pity for him. Because if a person suffers loss because of this reason, he didn't have it written down, then it is his fault. Because Allah has clearly said, فَاكْتُبُهُ, write it down. If you don't, it's your fault. Now, over here, we see that لَا يَبْخَصْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, he should not reduce anything off the dayn or off the time period at all. Now remember, this reduction could be first of all in quantity, in respect of time, or the amount. For example, instead of dictating 25, what did he say? 20. Similarly, instead of saying 2 months, he says 1 month. Or 2 years, he says 2 months. Or 2 months, he says 2 years. So, changing the quantity of either the amount or the time. These two should not be reduced. Secondly, the quality. For example, if it's not money that is being lent, but let's say an expensive product is being lent, or the payment of that is being deferred. So what does a person do? He says something else which is lesser in quality. Now for us, it might not make any sense, but in places where wheat, different types of grains, different types of crops, they are taken. And I mentioned to you about the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, when he came to Medina, people would pay for the dates a year or two in advance. So there are different qualities. So if a person reduces the quality and he mentions something other than what he's actually supposed to pay for, then that is also incorrect. And thirdly, type as well. What does it mean by type? That if there are different types of things that are being lent, then he should not cancel out, he should not leave out any type at all. So basically he should dictate every detail of that loan, mutabiq lil haqiqa, according to reality.